Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today, we're so blessed that you are joining us for the conclusion and part three of a great interview with R.L. Schauber, the author of the book, For This Child I've Prayed, Six Heart Surgeries in 18 Months. Now, folks, if you have not caught up or listened to the prior two episodes where we've been going into detail about all the problems that R.L. Schauber and his wife Stephanie's son Samuel had, and all the surgeries, numerous surgeries, and life-threatening situations, I mean, and how God delivered them through medical technology, yes, but six surgeries in 18 months. Praise God. Only God could do something like that. Amen. But today's the conclusion of this interview, so I want to jump right back into it now with R.L. Schauber.
God had a next step for me. And in November, a little bit before Thanksgiving, so early November, mid-November, it was right in the middle of a busy season at work. It was year-end reserve season. And it's kind of like tax season for accountants. It's brutal. And we were, first of all, I'm super stressed from work. And then Stephanie takes Samuel down for SVT. And oh, by the way, he's got a leaflet clotted open in his valve. And we're going to have to replace the valve again. And I remember being devastated because, you know, we've gone through the season. I'm starting to hope that everything's okay. And I remember, like, between the stress of work, the stress of trying to be a husband and a dad, and you know, all that entails, and the stress of thinking we're going to have to go in for another open heart surgery, just being so built up. And in Pittsburgh, you drive through the four pit tunnels to go to Children's. Like, I was out in Robinson, which is out near the airport. It's the west side of the city. Mm-hmm. You drive through. It's not a very well laid out city, especially if you're coming right down through town. It's a lot of hills, a couple tunnels. Everybody slows down the tunnels, and doing it at rush hour is terrible because then you come out of the tunnels and there's this four-lane bridge. And if you want to go north or west, which is where Children's was, you have to cross two lanes through other people that are merging in and cross, and you have the span of a bridge. You know, it's not even that big of a bridge to get across. And then you have to weave around, and there's just, it's insanity. I don't know what engineer made it, but they... They're either getting a great spot in hell, a great spot in heaven for having people pray to get through. You know what I mean? But around the time that I got on the bridge, the first bridge, and I'm trying to merge, the grief hit me like a ton of bricks, and I broke down and I started bawling. It wasn't a voluntary thing. It was just all the emotions hit me and I couldn't stop them. And there's no place to pull over. And, you know, you're not going to stop in the middle of traffic or you might get run over or shot, you know. I try to take it lighthearted because it was big, but I was bawling and sobbing so hard as I'm trying to drive through traffic and trying to get through the hospital that, like, I'm starting to worry, can I make it to the hospital? And I'm so raw emotionally, just that empty, bitter, raw, not bitter, but empty, raw feeling you feel when... Mm-hmm. Everything just feels like it's like sandpaper on your soul, and it's cold sandpaper. And I remember not wanting to, and this is where I learned the power of worship. I did not want to praise God in that moment. I wanted to just weep in silence. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that I'd heard from some Amway business partners say that, you know, they were talking about like trust one more time, like trusting other people. But I was just like, no, you know what? I'm going to worship God in this. I'm going to worship God in my desperation and just tell the world and Satan himself that God is good. And I put on Hillsong And it was the Zion CD, because that was, I just fell in love with that CD. And Love Is War came on, and then Nothing Like Your Love came on. And I was driving along 28, which is this brutal, brutal, nasty road. Like I said, the engineers either have a special place in hell or heaven. I'm not sure which one. Depends on whether they accepted Jesus as their savior. But I remember through my tears worshiping God, and the section of the song where it says, "Your love's amazing. It fills my heart and I cry out, there is none like you. There is nothing like your love." And then it rolls into "your love." And it doesn't even say "your love" again. It says, "There's nothing like your love's amazing." And it just rolls through a couple times. And I remember just singing that. And as I sung it, like I started to draw strength. And I started to say, you know what? I'm going to sing this in the devil's face. I'm going to say, you know what? My God's amazing. I don't care what's happening there. My son's going to be okay. My God's with me, and he's bigger than anyone and anything else, and even this situation. And Samuel's going to be okay, and my God's good. Mm-hmm. And I remember praying that, and I remember coming across the river over another bridge into down to where Children's at and singing it, like as I'm stopping and going. And by the time I got to the hospital, like the heaviness of the grief was gone. Amen. Amen. I was still raw. I was still upset about the fact that he was going to have to have another surgery. But, and it was actually really cool. The really cool part of it was when I was like, okay, back in the battle, time to fight again. And I was driving to work, and at the time I was, you know, I had a 45 minute drive to work. And so I would do my Bible reading, hop in the car. And then while I was driving, I would do my confessions, confess what God was going to do in my life, what I was standing in faith for. And I started picking up a verse that God had given me when Samuel was going through things the first time. You know, God fights my battles for me, which is, I think, 2 Corinthians 20. It's talking about, and there was a kingdom in Israel that three different countries had joined together to wage war against them. Surprise, they were their allies, and now they're going to come. And they fasted, and the king called a fast, and God, why are you doing this? And God said, listen, I'm going to deliver you from all of them, and you're not even going to have to lift a finger. I'm going to fight your battles for you. So it's really wild, because like literally the cool thing about that is like they went out, they put their worshipers in front when they went out to battle, and they got there, and they were all dead. They'd killed each other because God had confused them, and it took them 3 days to get all the treasure that God had brought them back into Israel, which is really cool. God's providing. But I was starting to lay claim to that promise again. And God's like, no, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, you're going to fight this battle. And this was the hardest point of the story to talk about, or to put into words, because like, how do you talk about fighting a battle? But two things came to mind. One, there was a U2 song that POD redid called Bullet the Blue Sky. And there was a quote in there talking about Jacob. You know, Jacob wrestled the angel, and the angel was overcome. And the other thing that hit me was there was a verse about Jesus, and Jesus said, and they said, he set his face like flint, you know? And it was talking about how Jesus was working to this, what the Holy Spirit was revealing to him is this brutal murder he was going to go through at the hands of the religious the very people who should have been praising him, and how brutal it was going to be and what he was going to have to go through. But Jesus knew what he was going towards, so he set his face like flint. And those two things are what the Holy Spirit brought up in me, that I'm going to fight to completion of God's promise, and I'm going to stand on God's promise. I'm going to proclaim God's promise. I'm going to praise God in his promises, and we're going to see the fulfillment of this promise. Doesn't matter what's coming.
Amen.
And so the next couple surgeries, like literally he has surgery in like mid-November. He ended up in December having SVT three separate times. We had to rush him to the hospital. In fact, on Christmas Eve, he went into SVT, and we're just like, we've already been there three or four times. We called the nurses and we're like, should we bring him in? They're like, you know, it's Christmas Eve. Up his medication. Here's the dose you should give. I mean, it's the same thing we're going to do here. and just bring him, you know, after you guys finish your Christmas celebrations. And so we brought him in. And, you know, he stayed that time because they're like, we're going to try to do an ablation. He's old enough. We can do this, which is basically where they have two ways to do it. But basically they get in where the heart is and they take the nerves that are causing this short circuit and they burn them or freeze them. So that way the nerves die on just this one spot. And so they were prepping for it. And the reason that we were rushing back and forth with SVT is because with a valve and him being an SVT, like typically SVTs, like it's something that should be monitored. It's not that big of a deal, but with him having a valve, the reason he kept clotting out valves was because of the SVT. It's not good. It doesn't pump the blood well. And so there was clots, forming on the valve. And so anyway, so we were in the hospital then, and they were trying to schedule, you know, ablation. And then he ended up, they said, you know, we're going to go ahead and do it. So they went ahead and did it. Did they do the ablation first? Or did they have to do it? Cause then he ended up clotting out another valve. So November and December, he clotted out another valve. They did two ablations that month. Actually, I think the first ablation was they did a cath ablation, which is where they go through the leg, which is supposed to be less invasive. But he still had to be in the heart lung bypass machine. So that way, you know, they could stop his heart to be able to pause things. And that was like a 10, 12 hour surgery or operation. And it wasn't even cut open, you know? Yeah. And then they had to go in and do another valve. And this time they went through the side and they did an ablation then. And we thought we got things. And, you know, January, we're thinking we're okay. And we are, you know, comes February, comes right around my birthday. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, God, thank you. Like it was like a day before or 2 days before my birthday. I'm sitting there journaling and I'm like, God, okay. Like we're through this. Thank God. I can start to relax. I can start to prepare for moving my life forward again. And like literally, I think a couple of days later, like he goes back in for SVT and we're like, no. And I remember going to a conference and like a couple of days before the conference, I was trying to get mentally prepared for it. And I remember journaling. And going, God, you know what? This is exhausting and I am tired, but you know what? I love you. These promises are going to come true and I'm going to get back up and fight them every single time. And we're going to fight. If it takes my whole life, I'm going to fight and we're going to be okay. We're going to make it through this. And it was actually cool because I went to that conference and bumped into a guy named Josh Roby and he prayed over me at that conference. We kind of talked about it and he thought I was tired from things. And then we got to talk and he's like, oh, you're going through crap. You know what I mean? Let me pray for you. And I remember coming back, like, I remember so much. It was such an emotional period. Like I remember going to that conference basically because, that conference was actually in January, but I remember going to that conference. Samuel was still in the hospital actually from the surgeries. And the reason I went to the conference, because I was like, I need to get around people of faith. I need recharged.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's Amen. So that way when February, sorry, my timeline's right now. Timeline's right in the book. It's been a while since I worked on it. But then in February, like because of getting recharged in January, when it's like, okay, he's back in SVT, I had the strength to pick myself up and say, we can go at this again. We're going to fight again. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool. Cause like in, you know, we hit a couple bouts of SVT and then coming into March, like, I was sitting outside, I was smoking a cigar on my patio. I was reading and journaling and just kind of relaxing after work. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, like this breeze came. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, a wind of change is coming. And it was wild because a day later, he goes into SVT and his heart valve clots up and he gets really bad really quickly, really fast, like super fast. Like, I don't think I've seen him get this bad this fast. And they went in, heart valve replacement, ablation. Sammy goes through another surgery, it goes through another recovery. He gets out, and we've had no problems since. Amen. No SVT.
Amen.
He had one valve replacement last October, which I also put in the book because, you know, what God taught me in faith was October 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. What God taught me in faith, I was able to use there. And it was kind of cool to be able to say, hey, this is how I waged war in faith before. And I can still use those things now. And they're on the tip of my tongue, you know?
Amen. So God is true and the devil's a liar, right?
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. What do you have to say to parents who may be going through a health challenge for their children or for anyone who may be facing an attack like this in their family?
One of the things I always, every single time somebody goes through this, the first thing I want to acknowledge is the fact that it's a painful process, and my heart goes out to you. Because I feel like one of the hardest things is like having people who want to sit with people in their pain. You know, most people just want to give you some type of verse and say, this will fix it, or throw you some trite phrase. And the first thing is like God tells us we need to carry each other's burdens. So I hope you have found some people that have come alongside you, not to tell you the good things and the bad things you do, but just to show you that God loves you right where you are. And then the second thing, God's promises are true. Either the Bible says that God's word is true and that let every other man be a liar. So if you know of like this person's kid who died in this situation and they were Christians and they were seen in faith, who cares? You don't know their story. I loved what C.S. Lewis said with Shasta and the horse and his boy. You don't know their story. You don't know how they were standing in faith.
That's right.
You have the authority. You have the power. You have God on your side and a whole host of other people who stand in faith and prayer for you. And if you're going through stuff, God's promises are true. Draw close to God and stand on his word and take up that weapon. God says his word is a weapon.
Yep.
Use it.
Amen. 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 And your book is a word of encouragement, even for those who may not have a health challenge. I mean, we talked about this before we started the recording. You know, I'm sent books all the time to read prior to interviews, and I'm very good at skimming through them, grasping on different parts and points to discuss in the interview. But your book was more than that. I actually read your book from beginning to end, and I believe everyone, it doesn't matter if they are facing a health challenge or not, their faith will be strengthened just by reading your book. And RL, how can someone obtain a copy of your book, For This Child I've Prayed, 6 Heart Surgeries in 18 Months? Is it available on Amazon?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. I'm trying to get things set up on my website. You know, I'm learning the technical stuff of that. So eventually it'll be available on my website, rlshaver.com. And you can sign up for, if you don't mind me saying, you can sign up for email lists. And actually I'm putting out blog posts specifically around this book for parents who are going through stuff. One of the things that has been particularly the only bit of bad feedback, it's not really bad feedback, it's just honest feedback that I've gotten about my book, which I'm grateful to get so much good feedback, has been parents who I've given this to who are going through stuff, and they say, this book is too much. I'm going through the same stuff. I can't take this right now. Mm-hmm. And so what the Lord laid on my heart was, I want you to put together a series of blog posts that go through the technical spiritual warfare things for people. So I've been putting that out on my blog, on my website, and you can, you know, sign up for the email list, the mailing list, and that way you can get, you know, those links delivered to your inbox. But the big thing is, that's out there. Anyway, I didn't mean to do an ad for that, but I've been working on it. I've been excited for it because so many parents, I mean, I get it. You don't, when you're going through something emotional, the last thing you want to hear is carry somebody else's burdens because you need somebody to help carry yours, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
So I wanted to give some resources to people and make it to give them some power and authority.
Yeah, so one more time, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, maybe do an interview like this, how can they do it? How can they get in touch with you?
Definitely reach out to me through my website, rlshaver.com, and it's R-L-S-H-A-W, V as in Victor, E-R. Because nobody seems to be able to spell my last name.
Hey, man, I'll put links to this down in the show notes below. Yeah. Folks,
that you have that problem.
Yeah, exactly. I go to the doctor and they're like, Smith here, Jones here, me.
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah. Folks, would RL and his wife Stephanie and little Samuel and their entire family, Isaiah, the grandparents, everyone, have endured cannot be measured or described with words, but it is the word that brought them through. God is true. Every promise in the word of God is true. Every word that's contrary to the word of God is a lie. Mm-hmm. R.L. Shaver, his family, myself, my family, and others who have endured and faced down and overcome adversity and attacks by the forces of darkness, by standing on the Word of God. We have this down so deep in our hearts, you know, a pry bar would break in two before we give up on God. And you can have that same kind of faith. Just get into the Word of God for yourself. Don't rely on any one person's interpretation. Read it for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
And I highly, highly want to recommend R.L. Shelver's book, For This Child I've Prayed, 6 Heart Surgeries in 18 Months. Even if you don't have issues like we discussed today, this book will bless you and increase your faith. If you're facing issues, health issues, whatever, especially if it's involving your family members, you absolutely need to read this book. Amen. Just go down to the show notes, click the links right there. R.L. Shelver, I want to thank you for coming on the program, taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. I do appreciate it.
Pastor Bob, I'm honored. I'm honored by your kind words. I'm honored by you reading my book. I'm honored by you having me on. I'm honored by your audience's ears and giving God's story through me, Tom, in their hearts and their mind. And I hope and I pray that God's word impacts people. My story is just a catalyst for God's the relationship with God, and I want that to be it, you know. Amen. So I'm honored. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For R.L. Shelver and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.